This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
Hey, welcome to IKEA, where even this desk is circular.
Huh. How so? Looks pretty rectangular to me.
It's because we're always looking to repair, reuse, and relove our products, like buying back your IKEA items for store credit. Or shop our as-is section for great deals. You can even order free spare parts. Get on the circular path for a more sustainable future.
Still a rectangle.
Get started at ikea-usa.com/circular. Visit ikea-usa.com/circular for as-is information and buyback and resale terms and conditions. Spare parts not available for all products.
Welcome to Suicide Buddies. Before we get started with the episode, I just want to say, Hampton and I joke around on the show a lot about suicide because we're very comfortable with it, because we've thought about it a lot and dealt with it in our families. We're not making these jokes to make light of depression itself or the act of suicide. So just please know that while you're listening, we're on your side. We're doing this to help. And if you really are suicidal, if you're feeling that way, please, I can't urge you enough, call 1-800-273-TALK. It's the National Suicide Helpline. They're there 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. They're amazing. They will talk you through it. You do not need to do it. Stay here with us. Glad you're alive.
You know just what to do when I look at you, and I don't wanna go. They call me on the phone and won't leave me alone, but I don't wanna go.
Briss is how we do it. Briss is how we do it. It's gonna be a Friday night.
Or like a Saturday morning.
A Saturday morning. Briss is how we do it. Imagine if Moyle.
Montel Juden. Moyle Juden.
Hey, wait a second. That's not Dave Ross.
Oh, no.
That's Jake Wiseman.
Hey, what's up, guys? I killed Dave. Actually, no, he killed himself. He really loved the podcast, and we're going to do this episode about his suicide.
Well, thanks for coming in, Jake. I'm sorry about all the last-minute confusion here.
That's okay.
Dave, folks, people who care about Dave listening to this, Dave keeps getting the fucking flu.
Yeah.
He will not stop licking doorknobs, shoving random things up.
Asking sick people to cough directly into his lungs. He's weird like that.
He's a weirdo, and we love him. But and get well soon, Dave. I'm sure you're listening to this. that would be actually amazing. But yeah, Dave's sick, and I don't know. It's going to be weird. Guys, my theory is that this episode is either going to be our worst episode ever or our best episode ever. And I'm actually kind of scared. Like, what if there's like a title shift where...
Yeah, if it's too good, then yeah. Dave's out. But yeah, if it's if I really tank, then everyone is like, please bring Dave back. I will do anything to get Dave back.
I'll kill you. To bring Dave back.
I could just kill myself again.
This is kind of Jake's roundabout way of killing himself, is by doing such a good job on a suicide podcast that the fans want him dead. That way, it's kind of like suicide by cop, you know?
Yeah.
Our that's what we call our fans, cops. Cop buddies.
What if found out all of your listeners were cops? What would you do? Like, you literally, like, anyone who's ever listened is a cop. You're so big in the LAPD community, and they think that you stand behind them. You are philosophically in line with everything they do. You would have to stop, I think.
You're all narcs? Wait a second. You're all wearing a wire? Like, that's what I think a podcast is people listening to this recording I'm putting out is a wire.
Do you think anyone has... been arrested while they were listening to Suicide Buddies on their earbuds?
Oh, most definitely.
Yeah,
most
so
of our
too.
Fans are yeah. juggalos and
yeah, I think
repeatedly
so.
arrested. Folks, this is Suicide Buddies. It's a comedy mental health podcast where we talk about depression, we talk about life. It's usually me and Dave Ross catching up with each other, and then we talk about suicide in history and kind of go over it and try and find something to take away from it, from all this senseless bullshit, mm-hmm. Jake. And we brought on Jake because he has a show called Corporate on Comedy Central, which is maybe one of the darkest looks at directly at suicide. It is so funny and so beautiful. And it also has like an incredible like punk rock edge, I gotta say. Like it really is like, it's like you do something really gorgeous and then you just kind of smash it.
Yeah, I think that's like, the idea. Yeah.
And it's like, to watch this show, it's like two characters kind of having a back and forth almost about an inner monologue about depression and suicidal thoughts.
Yeah.
And it is the funniest fucking dark.
Yeah, but it just looks good. Yeah. Yeah. That's it. It's just like, oh, it looks good. In fact, now I'm now worried it looks so good that people will kill themselves because they think they should. Because it's like a glossy advertisement for it.
Oh, that's such a like fun way to look at it.
Yeah.
That you're doing ads for killing yourself
yeah.
to society. Well, I think actually, I mean, main takeaway there is that Pat Bishop is like a certified genius.
Pat Bishop, the director of Corporate, is unbelievable. He's I remember the president of Comedy Central asked him, how did you get this good so young? And Pat was like, I don't know. He just is that good.
Oh, it's the lenses.
Yeah.
I'm such a dick. Yeah. Oh, it's just the
camera. Well, actually, Pat doesn't have a penis, so he wastes no time on his sexuality, and it's all just studying film and then making excellent film. He has no penis. He has 5 balls, but no dick. And so he's just got balls. A lot of pent-up sort of cum, and he puts it all into the screen.
That's where you're seeing the magic, baby. Yeah. It's all up on the screen. I like that Pat doesn't have any sort of gender.
Yeah.
He has a question mark.
Uh-huh. Well, like that character, Pat, it's Pat. Remember the genderless Pat? Which gender was Pat?
Oh, my God. Breakout.
What is gender?
If you had asked me which SNL breakout movie is it going to be, Wayne's World or It's Pat?
Yeah.
I would have put money down It's Pat. Who liked Wayne's World?
You shouldn't.
Really?
Yeah.
It is actually.
It wasn't a hit.
It's almost kind of funny that in time, Wayne's World, like I find a lot more people reacting, maybe younger people, I will say, kind of being like, this shit is lame. Like it's
really?
Literally guys just going like, swing, I got to.
Oh.
I'm hard for this. Whoa. Jennifer Aniston. Ay, ay, ay. It's like that kind of.
I guess that's true.
Bro-y. You know what I mean?
I feel like a similar thing happened to Caddyshack.
Hmm.
Where it's like it was probably similar to Wayne's World, like where it was like kind of like not transgressive but cool and different and like with funny, ridiculous, quotable characters, and you watch it and you're like, I don't know. Like I don't know if I actually find this funny anymore. You know what I mean? Like it's so like
yeah.
I feel like successful movies eventually become wildly hated. Like that's how you know you're successful.
Absolutely.
Is 30 years later
Absolutely.
They're like, that was the worst thing ever. Mm-hmm. Everyone who likes it is stupid.
Yeah.
That's when you know you're
American
rich.
American Beauty is the worst movie
right.
ever made. Gladiator sucks balls.
I walked out of Gladiator. That is
really?
One of my proudest moments. Senior year of high school.
I walked out of Gladiator, walked into 300. Let's do it right.
And I just gave it my cum because I was all so hard from Gladiator, but I didn't want to spill it in the Gladiator screening.
Oh my God.
No, I walked out of 2 movies senior year of high school, Gladiator and Casper. I thought
Casper.
They were equally offensive.
Casper was offensively bad.
It was so
I
bad.
Do remember.
Yeah, it's like, shut
I think
up,
the
you know?
First movie I walked out of, which I later liked, was Beverly Hills Ninja.
Yeah, that was a good movie. Also,
later
the slums of Beverly Hills.
Wait, so was Casper and Gladiator the first movies you ever walked out of?
I think they were the first movies I ever walked out of because it was like junior and senior year when I could drive. When I had
yeah.
a car that I could drive, I could go to movies and I could walk out of them. Everything before that, my parents had to decide if I was able to walk out or
I
not.
I don't think there's a greater sense of self-worth
mm-hmm.
than going
it's like my time is valuable
yeah I'm too good for you movie
yeah
you should just point at the movie I'm breaking up with
you. If you want to build self-esteem, what you should do is pay $15 to $20 to every movie and walk out after 5 minutes. Watch a movie again and be like, I should read.
And yeah. It's getting worse because movies are getting longer because they're trying to appeal to the Chinese market, and Chinese people love to watch 4 hour long movies, basically.
Oh, is that true?
Well, they like to watch longer movies.
So they have like big bladders and they don't have to they really don't have to pee. That's what I think about. I gotta pee all the time.
I know. I think about it all the time. Where I'm like, that's a 3 hour commitment to go watch Aquaman.
And if I miss 5 minutes, I'll be like, wait, what happened in those 5 minutes? You know,
I just pee
rewind the flick.
I just R. Kelly myself.
You pee in your mouth?
It's
so you're victim and perpetrator.
You save money on drinks.
Oh right, on toilets.
I mean, the tickets cost so much.
Oh yeah, the tickets to pee in your mouth.
You save money on getting a drink at the theater.
That's so true.
Peeing into your own mouth is the only true form of recycling. I will say. Well, if you think about it, go on.
No, I don't think I have anything after that. I think that's the t-shirt. Peeing in your mouth is the only true form of recycling. That's the new t-shirt for Suicide Buddies.
Dave, are you enjoying this podcast? I have to know. Man, I love the show. And I mean, you guys are going into season two.
Yes. It'll be Tuesdays at 10:30 p.m. on Comedy Central.
It's in the can. It's done.
It's done. It was a year and a half of our lives creating season two. It's a weird thing.
I never saw you.
Yeah. No, it's true. Yeah. And now since it's been wrapped, I've seen you a few times. And that is a weird thing where it's like an amazing thing to be able to have that job, but then you are isolated from everyone. So you get this dream where you like make this show, which is all you want. Mm-hmm. And then you get isolated from everyone. You get worked into the ground. And you just want to die.
You all edit it. Like every part you produce, you help direct.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, it's
write, cast, produce and edit it. Yeah. It's pretty insane. It's an amazing job, but it is sort of like, in order to create something that you really love, you kind of have to give everything to it and forsake every relationship and develop a lot of bad habits in order to make it. Like, that is anything good is the product of so much pain.
God.
It really is true, but it's worth it, I think. But it's because what else are you going to do? And you got to make money. But like, it's so much pain. It's so much pain.
It's like I've got this fucking shipment of pain. Where am I going to put it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, I'll just put it into art. You know, like,
truly.
And then you're just mad that I always said that early on. I was like, it's really a fucking just, I don't want to say bad idea, but it's insane to make your creative passion your financial obligation.
It's truly, we just don't know what else to do.
Yeah.
Like, that's the thing. It's like, we don't have many skills. We're really fucked up. Like,
I'm illiterate.
Yeah. If anyone listens to this podcast, they're not going to hire either of us. You know what I mean? And they shouldn't. Don't let us into any office. Yeah. So it's sort of like, we're just, but you told me once a long time ago that one of the ways to get a career in comedy is to kind of not give yourself a safety net. Like, that's the way you do it. But then you're like, oh fuck, I didn't give myself a safety net. And now I'm slinging stupid turns of phrase for money. And it's like, oh, well, this was my life. Thank God it ends at some point.
I was just thinking that I'm wondering, do you think comedy gives people a false sense of having a lot of friends? Because when you have to start, you're just hanging out with so many people. It's like college keeps going. You know, you're just an adult baby surrounded by adult babies getting free drink tickets, all just being clowns.
For sure. But they're basically your coworkers.
Yeah.
And that's the weird thing. It's like, if I think about it, sometimes I go through Twitter and I follow 2,000 people or something like that. And I'm like, wow. I know a lot. I've met a lot of these people.
Rock is my coworker.
If you've been in green rooms with a lot of comedians, you often share kind of intimate details of your life. Because you have 10 minutes and you're like, here's what's going on and it's not good. Yeah. So you feel like you're friends with these people, but then you see them once every 2 years. So it's like you're lonelier than ever, even though I know thousands of human beings fairly well.
You're getting snapshots of your friends' lives.
Yeah.
And a lot of times I've talked with friends and they'll tell me a story of how they interacted with another comic friend. And it's like, oh, you walked away from that exchange thinking that person was a sociopath.
Yeah.
Kind of after that. It's like, well, you're never going to believe what Brian said to me. Like, it's just like.
Yeah.
So I'm calling you out, Brian. Regan, child pornographer, Brian Regan. Oh, man.
Have you seen Brian Regan? You know who he is, right? The comic?
Yeah, the child pornographer.
Yeah. He's the cleanest comic in the world. He has a new show, and it's god-awful.
Is it?
It's so bad.
Because he's such an incredible comedian.
He's maybe one of the best comics.
Ever.
Yeah, I legit laugh at him, and like, yeah, clean or not, it doesn't matter. He's just legitimately so funny. And the show is upsetting on so many levels because it's like, you should watch it. I think you'd enjoy it for like 2 minutes and be like, oh, I get what they're doing.
You know what's weird is that I think something you start to realize is that stand-up, if you start doing stand-up, not every stand-up can do the other thing. And not every, you know, sketch comedian or writer can do stand-up. They're totally different skills. And that's something you have to accept about yourself.
I also, guys, I put a video up. You can find it on my Twitter or Facebook. And I put it up on Pornhub and X Videos. And it's just 15 minutes of my stand-up where I tried to edit it and make it move in a more functional way. Like, I really am getting so disappointed with stand-up. I think it's so boring to watch.
Yeah, like, me too.
It's shot always the same way.
It really is.
And so with the Brian Regan show, and they've tried to do this before, is where a comic's talking on stage, he's doing his bit, and then it cuts to like a sketch version of that bit, you know?
So you already know the joke, kind of?
Well, no, it's more like you're seeing the act out of that joke.
Okay, got it.
And it's like, I've seen that done a couple times, and it's bad every time. It is not a functional way to watch stand-up.
What is the right way to do a stand-up special? To just see the jokes, or to do a creative one that sort of breaks the form?
Well, definitely, I mean, I don't know, like, the individual should try and be pushing themselves, I hope, but I don't really care what, you know, anyone else is doing. But for me, what I visually like to see is something where it's more like I'm in the head of that person. I'm not seeing a sketch. I'm more just seeing images or music or things that kind of move it all forward in a conducive way that focuses on the stand-up. And it's not like, we're cutting to a sketch. Like, now we're in another room.
Right.
I just feel like stand-up should be like fun to watch, like a music video.
Sure.
In a sense.
Yeah, and it's often not, right.
Yeah, you know, like, I love watching music videos, but I hate watching stand-up. So right. That's kind of the...
Well, you love watching music videos, but it's always on mute. You hate music. You're just so into the visuals of music videos.
I am a sociopath.
You've never heard a song.
Isn't that funny that's the one art form that everyone has to like, otherwise you're a monster?
Music.
Like, you can be like, I don't like pottery.
You couldn't marry someone who said, I just don't like music.
Yeah. I don't like music.
Yeah, no, it's...
I don't... When I hear it, I'm like, what is that?
Like, I understand that it's delightful and it makes everything better, but... Yeah, I just like to drink gasoline.
But you can totally be like, I don't like art. You know, I'm not into that. But me, fucking Nickelback, that's my art. He never made it as a wise man. He wants to look at a photograph, whatever the fucking songs are about.
For some reason, this just reminded me that I remember when Limp Bizkit broke up. One of the reasons I heard was that Wes Borland, the guitarist, he didn't want to play Limp Bizkit anymore because he was getting really into Radiohead, which I think is one of the funniest tidbits of history, is that he couldn't listen to his music anymore because he just wanted to get weirder.
I am fucking tired of people using Radiohead as the go-to of... They're like the Radiohead of rap. Shut the fuck up. Radiohead's okay. Get over yourself.
They're like the Radiohead of isolated men in alt rock.
They're pretty good, but I mean, like, I don't know. But
that's what I'm talking about, though. That's like the Caddyshack thing, where it's like anything that was so wildly celebrated, it if it's not hated 30 years later, it doesn't make any sense.
I don't know if you've actually heard the episode we did.
I'm subscribed to your podcast. I do. I get all the demos.
We just did an episode about Doug Kenny, the guy who wrote Caddyshack, and it really looks like he killed himself. And the reason was because, you know, he made Animal House, which was this gigantic smash success, the biggest performing comedy movie ever. And then he made Caddyshack, and it was a massive flop. And it was kind of getting panned a little bit. But to be fair, it's so much... Like, I love Caddyshack, actually. I mean, it's a little goofy at points, but it's also like... I don't know.
It's kind of deep in a sense. I get a real sense of the Danny character.
It's interesting because if your temperament is based on the public's reaction to your art or to your pop art, you're really fucked. I mean, that's another thing about being a comedian that's really hard is that you could create something good that people just don't like, or the media just has it out for you that is then panned, that you kill yourself, and then 30 years later, like, that was the best movie ever. We're all so crazy, you know, because we can pretend that we just make the thing to make the thing, and really the joy of comedy should be creating the comedy, but it's not, because we're sensitive creatures and we are desperate for that reaction, and so we're putting our happiness to the whims of the really fickle public that doesn't want you to be that good for that long.
Yeah, you guys suck.
Yeah.
The public?
Yeah. It's like, you're all cops. More... And it sucks.
Are you guys wearing wires? Is that... Jake, I'm looking at my TV right now. You think that motherfucker's wearing a wire?
Yeah, I think that motherfucker's wearing a
you
wire.
Think that TV's wearing wires?
Dude, I have a OK Google thing at home, and I haven't used it in months, so I'm just letting people listen to me without getting anything back. And I feel guilty about it. Like, do you think they have heard how disappointing my cums are?
Here's the thing. Whoever wants to know something about you knows it exactly. They know it.
Yeah,
you know what
I mean?
I'm so over this illusion of we have privacy.
Oh, no, of course
it's
not.
So gone. You go to the airport, they literally take a naked photo of your children's genitals for like security. It's like, what is this
We have an episode this year about that, about privacy. It's all about sort of like the company puts desk sensors on the desk so it knows whenever you're leaving the desks. But then also, we created a new Google Maps that can go inside your home. So it like literally goes inside your home and sees you while you're sleeping and sees you naked and all that stuff. And then it spots a murder as well, but it doesn't matter. It's just like goes inside the home and they kill the Google guy.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
We're going to take a break in a sec. What was the premiere date again of the new season? Season 2?
It's January 15th, which I believe is a little before this will air, but it is Tuesdays at 10:30 PM on Comedy Central. And you can also catch up on CC On Demand or in the Comedy Central app or cc.com.
Yeah, that's all great. And I think we'll take a quick break and be right back.
Doesn't matter what they say, 'cause I'm gonna get my way if I don't wanna go.
And we're back. Aristotle, I have a present for you. It's a Y'all Ever shirt.
It's
sweater.
Long sleeve.
It's a sweater, man. Yeah. No, man, you deserve it. I hope it fits, man. It should be your size. Folks, we are so happy to have new merch. We've put up shirts. There's the plane, and then there's the fucking nuts version. And guys, thanks for listening to the podcast. We suggest, if you're, you know, into this and want to be part of the community of the podcast, we have a Facebook group that you can join. There's a Twitter for the group. And God, what else do I have to fucking mention? Aristotle? God, why did I give you that shirt? You're so fucking useless! You're so fucking useless, Aristotle!
You guys have a Patreon.
That's right. Okay, we do have a Patreon. And if you join that and do the $10 subscription, I'm laughing now that I fake yelled at her. So we good, man. We more than good. Yeah, we got the Patreon. You can be a $10 subscriber. You can be a $20 subscriber. That's the Saudi prince level where we expect you
let
to
you
be-
kill a journalist.
Basically, we expect you to be so rich you're killing journalists just for the fuck of it.
And let me say this, because I don't really have any skin in this game, but if let's say you drink too much or you're doing too much coke.
I'm listening.
And you want to stop doing that, because it's like 10 or 20 bucks. It's not that much money. And you're already spending it on the alcohol and coke. So it actually will make you a better person if you give it to the Patreon instead. It'll make you less want to kill yourself. You
no,
should...
no. This is too hardcore, dude.
No. But this is who I am. I'm a hardcore seller.
Guys, join the ultra level of our death cult.
Yeah.
Basically is what I was saying.
My point is you should just donate to the Patreon. It helps people live, and also it'll make you feel good. You probably can write it off tax-wise. I mean, you can't, but maybe you can. If listening to a podcast is your job, you can write it off.
Well, we appreciate anyone here. So we're here with Jake Wiseman, star, the lead star, the only star of the television
Star of David.
Movie. The Corporation.
Hi. I am back here.
Thanks for coming in, man.
I like coming to your house. It's fun.
I'm sorry Dave got sick and he keeps like letting people sneeze into his asshole.
It's weird.
To get the butt flu. But he keeps getting butt flu.
Yeah. Well, you know, he didn't get the butt flu shot, which is just a
the
tongue
dick.
In his asshole. And it's fine. A few years ago, I started having a tongue in my asshole pretty often. And
oh my gosh.
It's fine. It's not like great. Like, it's nice, but it's not amazing.
Does it make you sick?
No,
or do they get
deathly
sick?
Deathly ill. Yeah, I was in
Who
the hospital
sick?
All year. And now I'm $300,000 in debt, but I did have a tongue in my asshole. So I think
that's good. I
thought
you were
good.
Serious for a half a second.
No, I did have tongues in my asshole last year. But
what were they talking about?
What were they talking about? It was all in Farsi, so I couldn't understand it.
I wanted to ask, why do you guys, let's just ask, going around the room here, Aristotle and Jake, why do you think Dave keeps getting sick?
Well, I think Dave committed a lot of sins in his past life.
Okay.
I think when he was a young guy, he was really bad.
Religious
angle. Just such a bad guy and a big sinner.
Mm-hmm.
Constantly hung out with Jewish people, which isn't allowed. And that was kind of his only sin, but it was pretty constant, you know, because his last name's Ross. He got confused. He thought that's where he belonged. And now he's paying for it. And now the Lord is making him sick every other week, making him unable to podcast.
That sucks, man. Oh, Dave, shout out. Listen, a good prescription for that, leeches. Leeches.
yeah, put them on the juice.
Your face and body.
I'll just remind everyone
Dream
I'm a
evil.
Jewish person and can say all this stuff. Maybe you don't know. I sound Jewish, though.
Well, I'm not, and I still can.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
That's what the freedom of speech
is all
about.
Freedom of speech is all about, saying Jews are bad. And if you don't like that, you love America but hate my dick.
How great, man. If Alex Jones killed himself after all these legal troubles,
yeah.
That truly would be like, that'd be like if five celebrities came back to life.
I know. You know what I think about all the time? I think about this all the time. Not because I necessarily want it to happen, though I don't not want it to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But how amazing life in this country would be if Donald Trump killed himself today. Like, if he killed himself today, it would be very confusing because then we'd have to have a really long discussion about mental health in general. And it would just be like, oh, so he was just really depressed and we were making fun of him for being ill.
I don't know, man. He's kind of awesome.
Oh, yeah. No, well, that's, I feel like that's the truth.
I literally was talking to
Check
my man.
Check Reddit. He's awesome.
I think this is the new thing I'm going to do on stage. Like, the only way, because I don't want to do Trump jokes. It's just,
it's
so
too
everyone's
easy
doing
and everyone's
it. So
doing
the
it, yeah.
angle I do want to take is to be like, I don't see what everybody's got a problem, man. This guy's awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, he's charming. He's funny.
Yeah.
He, you know, he's always got the right thing to say. He's fun.
Great kisser.
And just wait for the audience to slowly walk out.
I was always so weirded out because, you know, all those times he like basically attacked people sexually. He was always obsessed with kissing them. Like, he loves kissing. It's
what
weird. He just wants
fuck?
To kiss people.
I can't even remember the last time I kissed.
I don't kiss.
I don't.
That's like third grade
if,
shit.
I just fuck.
Yeah. Oh,
ever
I
since
only
the third
fuck.
Grade,
I won't
only
touch
fuck.
Anyone except in like. Like, if the idea of kissing ruins the sex for me. To me, it's all about penis into vagina or penis into another
Fuck
hole.
That. Anal is the new kissing. Give me a kiss.
Anal is first base. Fourth base is kissing, and I don't do that until marriage.
I never want to be an old man. But it is fun, like, to always kind of be baffled by new sexual trends.
Yeah.
And, like, when children were, like, vaping their own cum, I was like, all right, little tap
so
out
wait.
Here.
What so you're saying doing? That cum has to be sort of filtered? Like, that's just fucked up. Like,
it
in my
like,
day, we had the
like,
cum hole.
What are you possibly getting out of this?
They'll win the moth.
Jackass. But then I remember I was a kid laughing at Jackass when I think, didn't they make someone eat cum one time or something?
Did they?
That can't be that bad, right?
No, it's just genetic material.
Like, my friends literally did that to somebody once. Yeah. They like tricked him into eating cum, and he's like, oh, fuck! I was like, idiot. You trusted for a second.
When do you want to live until? Like, you said you don't want to be an old man. Like, what's the ideal age?
That's a great
think?
Question. Right now, it's scary because I'm liking my life more than I ever thought I would. Mm-hmm. You know, like, same. I always thought I'd be dead by like 20. You know, like, I wanted to kill myself as a teenager. And then the 20s of my life weren't like so easy. So it definitely came up back again where I was feeling suicidal. So I don't know. I was always like, I wish I would just be dead. And now it's more like I've gone to therapy. I've taken more of a look at my life. And I'm realizing that, like, you know, it's like killing yourself takes as much work as making your life better.
Sure. It just seems kind of scary. Yeah. Like, it just seems kind of scary to actually do it. It
seems just as scary, right? Yeah. Where you're like, fuck, I have to change me. Yeah. You know? And it's funny because once you do, you're actually like, oh, I'm still the same person. I just got over some of my bullshit, you know?
What are the things you've done for yourself that are best?
In the long run, like, I don't want to be dismissive. I mean, it gave me a ton of confidence by losing a lot of weight. Mm-hmm. It just changed my perception. One was I kind of always, and this is super self-obsessed, right?
But that's what depression is, essentially.
Yeah. Oh, well, good point. So I don't know. I grew up thinking I was very ugly. And then to have like even the mildest bit of attraction after losing weight,
yeah,
the confidence
it can help
thing kind of just started accruing on itself and getting bigger and bigger.
It is super weird.
And now I'm God and you're all my puppets.
And I want to suck your dick.
A fucking suicide podcast.
Yeah, but that is the weird thing about humans, how fragile we are, which is like, because of whatever society we live in, how it's come to be, a large part of our happiness can just be based on sort of what happened genetically and mm-hmm. symmetrically to our faces and the shape of our bodies. Like, it is bizarre. Obviously, there's serotonin you get from working out, but even if like you're just skinny and not in great shape, you often feel better than if you aren't. So fucked up.
Actually, wait. I'll maybe back this up a little bit because I
don't want to wait. I want it right now.
It's more like realizing the dimensions of your depression, right? Because as I said, I'm probably the happiest I've ever been. Maybe like a week or 2 weeks ago, I'm literally in this room sobbing and going, I wish I was dead.
I know.
And like looking up to God and being like, yeah, and there is no God. You know, like, so
where'd
like,
you go?
No, it's like, it's kind of like I have depression. So
yeah, me too.
Understanding that you just have depression. And that's what the joke I used to do is like, you know, I lost all the weight and I was like, oh fuck, that wasn't it. Like, that's, you know,
right, sure.
Calls are coming from inside
the
house.
Same with having a TV show, man. Like, it's the same thing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
No, I in no way think you're happy.
Yeah, no, it's
I've
bizarre.
I've never gotten that impression from you.
I've mostly, because it's funny, because I feel like there's all sorts of like a holism, like I feel like I'm a workaholic right now simply to put depression out of my mind. Like, even when I'm depressed, if I'm working a lot, at least I'm doing that. Like, I might want to die, but I know I'll finish the job. And so that's really healthy for me. And I feel like if you do have depression, you have to work really hard at your life, which is so hard because depression is telling you to not do anything. So it's like, but you have to work really hard at your life and kind of be unhealthy in as healthy a way as possible in order to put depression at bay and not think about killing yourself.
I do think that you know, when it gets really low for people, like, it is important to almost treat your depression like a job.
Yeah.
My new thing is, how am I going to remove this thing?
Yeah.
You know, in the same way you broke your arm or something. It's like, how am I going to medically take care of this?
Yeah, I feel like it's interesting now because I have the same depression you have and we've talked about it a lot and we're friends and have bonded partially over this. Here we are. We're friends in real life. And I think it's interesting now. So when I get really depressed, and it happens at least a few times a year, I just know that it'll happen and I have to allow it to happen. And at some point, I'll probably feel better than I do at that moment. And then at some point when I feel better, I'll feel bad again. Yeah. And then I'll feel better and feel bad and feel better and feel bad. And so like, it's just an acceptance of what you are. It's kind of almost getting like nerve pain for a few months. And at some point, you know, it'll let up. It'll be a little bit better. And it's just sort of this condition we live with. And it's interesting because I feel like a lot of kids, when they first get depression, or when I first got it, it was
It feels
horrifying.
So solitary. It feels so
it's like,
individual.
Are you kidding me? This is what I have to go through? And if I didn't know that there would be good things in my life, I would have absolutely ended it.
That's true. I mean, that's just a, like a lack of, you know, life knowledge of just how it's going to ebb and flow.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I also think sometimes about how people who have, you know, it's easy also to be dismissive of your own situation because there's always going to be somebody who has it harder.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you're like, well, I'm not even happy in a successful relationship. Right. And then someone else is like, well, I'm bipolar schizophrenic and I have to deal with
And you're
like,
well, you're a huge loser, it sounds like.
It's just like, I don't know. Yeah. Get over it. Drink water.
Join Scientology. Leave me alone.
Oh my God, Xenu, it was so bad. I love Leah Remini's the one who's tackling Scientology.
Yeah.
Oh my God, when Xenu told me that I had to give him all my money, I was like, this is garbage.
Yeah.
I'm going back. She goes back.
That'd be amazing if she goes back.
Queen of Kings. She makes a sitcom about her coming back into Scientology and ruling it. I'll be your Tom Cruise. Isn't it time we got rid of Tom Cruise and fucking put back in Leah Remini? I mean, fuck. I mean, fuck. Y'all ever nut? Guys, buy the Y'all Ever shirt. It's funny. Literally, when I wear it in public, I start cracking up to myself because, you know, it's hard.
I did a festival in Denver last year, and a bunch of people were wearing the Feelings shirt.
Oh, for real?
They were wearing your merch.
Hell yes.
Yeah, I love it. The merch is everywhere.
The Feelings is a classic, guys. So you can get the merch at suicidebuddies.threadless.com if you want to get some of it. I'm proud of it, except for that one shirt, which we have not sold one version of, which is me. It's just a picture of me and Dave. And I was like, I told him, I was like, who would buy it?
Your mom.
I can't wait. I can't wait for the serial killer who buys that and then ends our podcast.
Here's a picture of the two people I killed.
All right, Jake. What's I know up, man? You've had dark thoughts. You've suffered was it your spine?
Yes.
Yeah, it was your spine. Mm-hmm. Kind of put you out of commission.
Spinal
with nerve
fusion.
Pain for like half a year.
Yeah. Yeah. And but overall, the whole thing takes like a year to 2 years to fully heal. Yeah.
It was awful. Yeah, it's pretty crazy. To watch. Yeah. I mean, I hated having to hear you.
Well, you loved watching it. I mean, you were jerking off over my bed, and that's kind of how I healed. It was weird.
So I'm going to ask, what is the absolute best way to kill yourself?
I thought about this a lot. I think that it's sort of like, because I've always had an issue with blood. I don't like the idea of blood, even just the idea of blood being involved at all. Like, I could never cut my wrists and sort of go in the bathtub because also, like, the water would get cold. Like, that's the thing with baths is that, like, the water gets cold.
And
like,
chilly. And then how you're like, thing.
You need, there needs to be, like, a constantly warm bath in order if I'm going to do it. So I hate that. I don't love the idea of a gun check because I don't want to buy a gun. And
it
I feel like.
It seems aggressive, right?
It's also like, you if I'm going to shoot Republican. Myself, if I don't kill myself, and I shoot myself, then I have a deformed face, and I'm like that fucking guy in the eight, like the you
Hell
know,
yes,
like, yeah.
man. Have you ever read Preacher? There's a character.
No,
who
but I read.
Blew his face half off. And
there's
he's
a
called
book.
Ass face.
There's a like there's ass. There was a book by John Darnell of the Mountain Goats, which was about it was a novel based on the real story of a guy who shot himself in the face but lived. He was trying to kill himself and lived, and he had this deformed face, and it sucked.
Yeah, no, it wasn't cool.
I'm sorry, it was cool.
What
yeah.
if you put on makeup?
So I don't think gun is ideal. I think a solid way to do it, if you really want to get the job done, is stepping in front of a train. However,
here's the thing
that makes someone else kind of
I have to stop
culpable
you
of your death
because you're talking about pretty normal suicidal thought. I'm asking you, Jake Wiseman, what is the absolute best way to kill each other. Let's just say you have a budget of billions of dollars here.
Okay. Then it's, you know what it is?
Okay.
It's some, okay. So if I have millions, do I have $500 million?
You have exponential
unlimited
money.
Unlimited money.
Okay. But you can't like blow up the earth or any. Well, maybe. I mean,
okay. So what I would do is I would get in a rocket ship.
Okay. All
and
right.
I would spend many years learning how to be a spaceman. I would fly all the way up as close to the sun as we could get, and then I would get into a catapult and be shot into the sun, and I would be incinerated by the sun.
That's kind of fun.
Yeah, well, it's cool because it's like maybe you get it on video, becomes a YouTube link, and it's like I love YouTube, and I just think that like I've just watched so many hours of YouTube in my life. I would love to be a part of that.
So your plan requires Elon Musk to help kill you.
You mean Ellie? Yeah, I call him Ellie because we're so close. Yeah, I want to be shot into
Elon,
the sun.
Elon, I need a fave, baby.
That'd be so cool to be.
We're
like,
gonna go viral with this clip,
baby.
You're gonna throw me into the sun,
yeah, baby.
Hey, baby.
Yeah, please. I would like to be shot into the sun.
I like that, and I kind of wonder if it's the the incineration almost instantly that's appealing.
Absolutely,
to you?
It's like like live fast, die young in the sun.
In space.
In space, no one can hear you kill yourself.
What season of Corporate does this take place?
If you watch season 2, I kill myself every episode. And so it's really fun to watch. Why does he come back for the next episode? You got to watch
to find
out.
You're the new Kenny on Comedy Central?
Yeah. No, we had a whole plot about suicide in our pilot. So that's like kind of a crazy way to go. I think if the show somehow is a runaway success and we have to do a million seasons, eventually I will end it by killing my character. That's the way to get out of a contract.
Here's the thing. You interpreted that as me asking, what season of the show does your character kill himself? I was saying, what season of your financial success of having a show do you just go, I'm ready to go into the sun?
But that's what I'm talking about. Oh, okay. is like maybe season 8, we'll film all of the rest of the scenes and then we'll do the suicide scene. Mm. And I'm always known as one take Jake. So you'll just have like 5 cameras running to get it. So
I heard that you were less than Jake.
No, I'm one take Jake.
I heard that you were the less than Jake.
I'm not
Jake.
Being fake. I'm one take Jake.
It's funny because
maybe I would jump in a lake.
Stop. Or I'll
get
kick
you
in the
face with a rake.
I will literally scissor kick you.
For Christ's sake, I'll stop.
When I'm watching your show, I kind of am wondering how much like backstory have you figured out about your own characters? Because they're definitely a version of you, but it's not you. And then I see sometimes Matt is maybe dealing with like a phone call from a family member, and I'm like, does Jake have a family? Like,
thought about that. It's weird because you're like, you're learning about who these characters are while you're writing it, so it feels like you'd have this entire map of everything. But that's the thing. Like, you
also,
know how-
wait, I want. Sorry, I'm going to cut you off real quick to make a point about your own show. Is that I think what's also super appealing about the show is that it is just a kind of look at corporate life, depression, and to not make your characters so defined actually helps sometimes make a pastiche of what you're trying to talk about.
Yeah, everyone's sad.
But if it's like, wait, what about Jake's sister?
Right.
Like,
no.
You introduced your
third
episode.
That's what most shows would do. And I think we only want to bring in family members if there's a point to it. I think like it's not a typical show in the sense that there's like this building narrative and will they or won't they? And man, all season they did this and then it ended in this. And it's like, it's much more episodic and it's, I say, philosophical and satirical and trying to make points. But that being said, what I have learned about making a show is that no matter what and all the bullshit sort of jerking yourself off stuff you want to do by having a point with the show, people are just like, I like the character of Jake. You know what I mean? Like, that's all they want is they want characters. And you have to, the deeper you go into characters, the more people feel invested in the show and the more people want to come back. Even if it's not really what you care about as much, you learn that's what people care about and that's why they watch it. And if they dress up for that character as Halloween, that means that your character is successful. And so essentially what you're trying to do is create a show where they're dressing up for you as Halloween. That's how you know you've made it.
I hear you. Dude, I mean, look at Bob's Burgers.
Yeah.
It's like a show that everybody kind of could get into at the general point, starting off point. But then over time, it's like you learn about the characters.
Yeah,
I hear what you're saying.
That's all it really is. And even if that's not where you start when you're doing stand-up, you start stand-up out of a need to express how you feel. Often it's the pain that you feel. And you yourself become a character, like a caricature of yourself. But you do it because you love jokes, you love comedy, you want to express something. And then you get into TV and you're like, people like jokes, but people love feeling sort of tucked into bed by the bonds they feel with the characters.
What do you think your character in the show was doing like 10 years before where he's at in the show?
Well, we actually had we have that in the pilot. We have a flashback because like it's all about selling out and how there's a new sort of way to describe selling out, which is just kind of buying in. And it's like you there's no such thing as selling out. You need money to survive. Like, you need money to survive.
Absolutely.
All of the jobs we've had, Hampton, besides stand-up,
Patreon.
But it's yeah, there's Patreon, but writing jobs are all paid for by big companies.
Yeah.
There aren't really any writing jobs you can get that aren't. You know, it's just a lot of money to make something. So,
yeah,
you know, 10 years before we in the pilot, we had like me, I was like in a Rage Against the Machine band and I was like so angry. And then we had in season one, it was like
so perfect.
It's like, don't get a job, punch the president. Like, yeah, it's just
yeah,
like,
that was the yeah. Best.
And then we had me as like a former street artist and stuff like that. And we have this year, we have sort of a past version of myself when I looked sort of dressed like Andy Warhol mm-hmm. and stuff like that. So to me, it's like, yeah, it's a lot about like, there's so many past lives we've all had. It's essentially like TBT photos.
Yeah. Well, and it speaks to also like, you know, if you're going to have a show that's basically about depression inside of this job where a lot of people would be like happy to have a, you know, nice corporate job or whatever, even though the company is a very dark empire, you know, makes every product under the sun. But it's like, if you're going to have these characters who have this kind of depression, it almost makes more sense they've had so much like identity confusion growing up. Like, just, I'm this guy. I guess I'm nothing. I guess I suck. I guess I don't have any character.
Yeah, I feel like a large part of depression is when you're young, you have certain ideals. Maybe you're smart. You read certain philosophers. You read certain novels about like, or leftist stuff where you're like, ah, the world could be like that. And if so, it'd be better. Then you get older. You realize that you can only do so much with your life. It's extremely complicated. And you sort of give up on your ideals and then just accept whatever fate everyone has accepted before you. And that's a large part of like, depression when you're young is so heightened because you're like, oh my God, the world is so fucked up. And it is horrifying. But as you get older and you keep having to live and you keep just needing to survive, you're like, yeah, it's fucked up, but whatever. You know, I just got to take care of myself. It's just so hard.
I think depression is a form, in a lot of cases, unless you do have like some sort of mental illness that's way out of control.
None of those are real.
A lot of times it's like a heightened awareness. You know,
absolutely.
It's like there's every reason you should be depressed if you have a shitty job and you don't like it and people are yelling at you. It's like, oh, are you depressed?
If you're reasonably,
that's not weird.
If you're looking reasonably at the world and how horrific it is all the time, mm-hmm. it'd be weird if you weren't depressed. And so you kind of have to like just accept it.
Yeah, and I think your show hangs in that part of depression, but it's healthy for people to go through that. And then you realize that it's actually more like multifaceted. You're like, oh yeah, everyone has a form. We're all kind of dealing with the human experience.
100%. And it's really hard. It's really, really hard because
it makes you a little bit more at peace, I think.
I think so. You just sort of, I mean, everyone is set. It's interesting. We're in our mid-30s, and so we're starting to understand why everything is the way it is because everything hurts and everything is hard. It's really complicated. People are really fucked up. Everyone has made a lot of horrific mistakes
it
and you're like, oh shit, I'm now dealing with that every second of my life and just trying to drive straight. You know what I mean? Like I'm like I'm thinking about all this while on the highway and just trying to get to the next destination.
Oh,
it's really complicated and a lot of people are really fucked up and haunted by many things that happened before they were really as self-possessed as they are that they can never really get over. So it's just life is very just constantly complicated.
The drive cry is a real perfect cry, I always feel.
Yeah.
It's like you can't leave. You're mm-hmm. trapped in.
Yeah.
You have to like just whatever emotion. It's like everything kind of gets silenced also. You're like boxed in a little bit and it's like going into a sensory deprivation tank a little bit of just like outside influences. You can listen to whatever music you want.
That's why I like one of the reasons I like LA is even though it's a lot of the reason people hate it is it's a commuter city. You're always in your car. And often there's a lot of traffic, but I like it because it's when I'm alone and I deal with all my shit. Like, I keep tissues in the car for two things, one for tears and one for coffee spills. And like, I think you should keep so many tissues in your car for those reasons.
My problem is every time I get on the highway, I see Joe Rogan in his sensory deprivation tank mobile.
And he's crying.
He just drives a sensory deprivation tank and crying. I love, you know, your thoughts on all this, and I kind of wonder, you know, do you have any advice? You know, I mean, I'm not saying you figured it out, you know.
Yeah, I would definitely say that take my advice with a grain of salt, because, you know, I'm a specific person. I think a large part of depression is it's so specific and it's so hard to deal with that you do have to find your own way. But I will say this. I don't think I'll ever be rid of my depression because I have it. It is obviously just a part of me. It's a physical thing. So, but what has helped me is working hard. And if you do find something that you love, it will be very frustrating, but at least, like, okay, yeah. Life is essentially meaningless. It's essentially meaningless, but you have to create some sort of sacred meaning in order to want to keep going. So it's like why some people get obsessed with TV shows or podcasts or your cat, sure, or whatever. It's like you have to create meaning in order to keep going. And if you work hard at it, meaning can be created. And so I find, like, I'm still depressed and I have a TV show and it's wonderful, but it allows me meaning. It allows me a reason to wake up every morning and a reason to believe that I can keep making things, keep giving people little acting roles or writing jobs. There is something there that I'm so busy that I don't have as much time to think about my depression.
Yeah.
And that is helpful.
Yeah, that's a... That's,
and also, I think really reading beautiful fiction is really good for some reason. I think it's like a good meditative thing. I think there's been a huge sort of push away from reading in general, but you get a book in your hand, it's the best escape possible, because everything related to a computer with escape is still in the computer, where you can check Twitter and all that stuff. But if you read a book, that's the other very small thing that I think could be very helpful.
Hell yeah, read Swamp Thing. Swamp Thing's the only good book I've ever read.
Yeah, I think just be obsessed with your, be obsessed with what you're creating. Like, have a hobby or just work really hard at it, because working really hard feels good.
I hear you. Well, that's true. Also, it tires you out, and then you're like less thinking about
exactly. It's all about bullshit. Not. I don't have any time to really focus on my own bullshit. You have to. If you don't have a kid, then
what are you doing?
Yeah. Then create something that essentially is that workload.
Yeah.
And just so you have something to care about, make it sacred.
This is literally what I tell my parents, because they're kind of like baffled by my life in a lot of ways, and I'm just like, well, you have to understand, I'm putting all of the focus of having children into doing this, so it does matter a lot.
Yeah, and
me,
it's always, you know? the thing I want to say is, like, it's always going to be tough, but that's okay. Like, a lot of people have tough stuff to deal with, so if you just know that it's going to be tough and you still can focus on stuff, like, eventually that can really pay dividends, and the work you create can mean something to someone else.
I think also in a larger sense of that, which I like, is that, like, you know, creating a purpose, and it's just, I'm not saying that, like, you know, the purpose will make you happy. Once you've achieved it, you're then just happy. But there is something about focusing your life. You know what I mean? Like, if you have depression and you have no focus, then you're only going to focus on your depression.
Yeah, absolutely.
So if you have another thing, the way I really, it flashed back in my brain that when I started to get over my depression or start the process, it was, I always use the metaphor of, like, I'm just putting my feet in the right direction. It's going to take me forever to walk there, but, like, at least I'm going to a place.
Absolutely. You know? And, you know, it's like, it's funny when you grow up, people make fun of people for loving sports or loving The Simpsons too much or whatever. It's like, what I, as you get older, you're like, oh, all of that is people are depressed and they need something to do. Like, sports fans are very depressed and they need something to occupy that time. Don't make fun of them. Let them fucking care about statistics of the Denver Broncos in 1995. They're not killing themselves. It's a good thing.
Me and Georgia, I just got her like an NHL like subscription because she loves hockey.
Me too.
And immediately we watched like three games. And it's been this slow process where I watched the Olympics with her. We watched all these games. We get up in the morning and watch a bunch of you know, athletes and stuff and be like, wow, that's so cool that that guy can do that, you know? Mm-hmm. And then we watched the World Cup and it was like, okay, I was like, I think I'm becoming a sports guy.
Dude, I love sports. I love sports because it's really just like it truly is escapism. It's,
yeah,
it's, someone else said this, but it's like, what's funny about sports is it obviously doesn't mean anything, but it's like, no, neither does life. So we're pretending this is, we're pretending this is the most intense thing ever. And it's like good. It's like good entertainment.
We were talking about it, me and George, and basically like Georgia, like the idea is I was like watching a bunch of football recently and going, and I'm like, I don't like love it, you know, but I'm trying to understand it. It's like, I'm watching it. All these things is kind of like, I'm enjoying it more and more because I'm trying to understand, yes, the appreciation that this is just another form of entertainment.
Yeah.
And one of the one things that I actually am like, wow, I've never experienced that, and sports has that, is it's so unexpected.
It's like, you never know what's going to happen.
Something could just happen completely.
Yeah, it's pretty
unexpected.
Beautiful. Yeah, I mean, it's so like, it's obviously dumb. There's obviously many problems, especially football. I still love it because it's like just something else to think about, and it doesn't mean anything, you know? And it makes me come so much.
I think we should just get all of the sexual assaulters from all sports and make one league that's just like the sexual.
That's what the XFL is. and they just have to talk about their feelings, and the people who do it best win. But the cameras are right up in their faces.
Man, Jake, thanks so much for coming in here.
I loved it. I felt like Dave. So I felt really sick the whole time. And was coughing a lot, and it was good.
No way. Dave's hot.
Yeah, he is. And also, he has a big dick. Like, I didn't realize like what a big... He's carrying such a huge fucking thumper. New word for dick.
I hate
Let's make it go viral.
Dave's thumper.
Dave has a big thumper.
All right, new shirt we're putting out. Dave's thumper. You can buy it for $30.
Y'all ever Dave's thumper?
Y'all ever? Guys... Sorry, I keep coughing. Fuck. It is time to end this podcast. You can, if you like this podcast and you want to support, you can buy a Y'all Ever shirt or a Feeling shirt. It's all at suicidebuddies.threadless.com. You can check out bonus episodes. We do bonus Patreon episodes about like movie suicides. It's always fun and extra content up there. And there's, you know, $5 entry into the Patreon if you care to do it. But we love you anyway. And thank you so much for listening to the podcast. Jake, when can I watch that corporate premiere?
You can watch Corporate Tuesdays at 10:30 p.m. on Comedy Central. It'll be going until like March 14th or so, or March 12th or March 14th. But you can watch it. You can also watch it on the Comedy Central app, on demand, or at cc.com. Please watch the show so I can make another season of it because I like my job and it stops me from killing myself. So it's on you.
Okay, here's the plan. Set your TiVos. Watch it also live when it comes out. Then download the CC app. Stream it while you're asleep. All episodes. Keep it going. This is what I did when fucking Mystery Science Theater came out. I just streamed it nonstop on two different accounts.
And it got picked up. Yeah, I think that also I want to mention that Dave Ross, who I am today, was the star of one of the episodes in season one, which we've already talked about a year ago. But he's That's on the right. show. We got a lot of great people from the comedy scene in LA on this season. It's full of great comedians doing good work.
Yeah, and if you guys want to check Dave when he's feeling better, and you can see me perform for his album recording, which will be February 12th at The Echo. So check out tickets for that at Dave's website, davetotheross.com. And we'll check you guys out later. Thanks for being with us. Glad you're alive. Oh my God, what a great episode. But you know, are you still dealing with the dark thoughts? Well, Dave and I would prefer it if you actually dealt with it. We're not medical professionals, but we would like it if you're actually dealing with these depressive, dark, swirling thoughts that you may be called the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline. They're at 1-800-273-8255. That's 1-800-273-TALK. And they're great people. They have the resources to help you deal with your current situation. And Dave and I, we're happy that you're with us. Thanks.